The wonderful John B. Keane once remarked to me that there are just two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Kerry. And of course the great man was, as always, spot on, because Kerry is special. It's unique. There is no place like it in the whole world. And despite the fact that I have travelled far and wide, home is where the heart is. And to come home to Kerry is in many ways like coming home to heaven itself. Towering mountains, crashing seas, stunning scenery, valleys and lakes, and the ever-changing majesty of the four seasons. Kerry continues day after day to confound, mystify and amaze, because to me, more than anything else, Kerry is a spiritual place. Its traditions, places of pilgrimage, footballers, sportsmen and women, authors, singers, photographers. My county is blessed with all that is great and good. But it's the heart and soul of the people of Kerry that define it most of all. The Kerry accent, the Kerry way of life, the Kerry spirit, the Kerry followers in Croke Park on our Ireland final day singing our national anthem, expressing their unique identity as they cheer on their men in green and gold. The handing down of tradition. And then we have Radio Kerry. For 25 years, the jewel in the Kerry crown, the servant of the people at home and abroad. Those exiled in the farthest corners of the world are tied forever to home through Radio Kerry. I have met Kerry diaspora who listen in far-flung regions such as Alaska, Wagga Wagga, Australia, South Africa, Chile, New York, Boston, Chicago, London and Madrid, and many more destinations with names far too complicated to pronounce. Kerry, the kingdom where I have been so blessed to have lived all my life, married and raised my family. And when I die, hopefully I will travel from one kingdom to another.
There you go, the late Wishy Fogarty, 6 years dead today. Hard to believe that time passes so quickly. You're with Donal Barry. We're talking Terrace Talk this evening, live coming from our studios here in Tralee. Tonight's show, the Kerry ladies doing seven All-Stars, but no Player of the Year award for Kayleigh Cronin. We'll chat to national freelancer Colleen Duffy on that and possibly a little bit more as well. Also on the week, of course, that the other legend, Brendan Martin, passed away as well, so we'll discuss that. Clonmaris know their All-Ireland semi-final opposition. We'll find out who they are. Jim O'Shea, Gerard Crowley and Michael Shea join us. They made it up the steps in here, so they're all there around 20 past 6 to chat about their new book, Athletic Scribblings, and we'll have a nice bit of fun about that. After 7 o'clock, of course, it's James McCarthy. He's going to look back at the Abidorny journey that ended at the weekend, losing out to Tipperary champions Cashel King Cormacs. Beaufort are the Meath Kerry champions. We'll chat to Maurice Foley about that. And then it's a big week, of course, of action for the East Kerry and West Kerry, of course, and we'll talk to both their PROs, Michael Healy and Brandon Fitzgerald, about that. Big congratulations to St. Mary's as well down in South Kerry. And 10 this evening, Ian O'Connell will take a look back at Katie Taylor, maybe Luke Littler, and we might chat about the 5-0 hammering as well at the end of the show that happened for Ireland at the week. So if you want to get in contact, 066 712 3666, or WhatsApp or text us on 083 300 3300. And it was a good evening on Saturday evening. Colleen Duffy joins us. Colleen, seven All-Stars for Kerry, that's a decent enough haul?
Decent enough haul, and pretty much what was expected, I think. Usually the only county this year, and indeed well deserving of her first All-Star award. Certainly nobody on this All-Star team, certainly more deserving in many ways than her, and I'm sure the first of many All-Stars, I have to say as well, because she definitely will be... I can see big days coming from her again in the future, mm-hmm. and in 2025 as well.
And of course, a big day for her club back in Castlegarrigue as well. Grace Ferguson from Armagh took her first award as well. Cornerback had a good season. Little bit maybe disappointment in Kerry that Eilish Lynch possibly mightn't have snuck in there, but we did get the fullback Kayleigh Cronin, particularly after her player of the game performance in the All-Ireland final, and she won as well, of course, in 2022. So no surprise with Kayleigh.
Definitely not, and for someone who got the player of the match in the All-Ireland final, you'd have to be saying one of the lead contenders for an All-Star award as well. So definitely no surprise there. She was very solid throughout the championship as well, and came to the fore when it mattered most in that All-Ireland final as well, and you know, rock solid in the Kerry defence. A shoe-in for an All-Star, no doubt about it, and well deserving of her second award. Interesting, and just one of five, I think it was, that were picking up more than their first award, which is an interesting thing in itself to have so many first-timers on the All-Star 15 as well.
Yeah, Kate Geraghty picking up the other cornerback from Galway. And then number five, Aisling O'Connell, a big fan favourite down here in the Kingdom, picking up her second one.
Absolutely, and not just a fan favourite, I think, in Kerry, but right across the country. She's one of the leading lights over the last couple of years. Again, another All-Star for her. Like Kayleigh, she picked up the other one in 2022 as well. So a formidable force at the back. You know, plenty of good memories of her, not just in Championship 2024, but right over the years as well, and another well-deserving winner.
Centre-back went to Nicola Ward, of course, Galway. Her second one as well. It's funny, I would have said she probably had a couple more in the bag, but amazing only her second award. Lauren McConville, Armagh, picking up her first award as well. You know, a fantastic season for her. Into midfield, Anna Galvin, winning her first award at midfield. And I think midfield awards down in Kerry, they kind of hold a little bit more about them. You know, it seems to be a place that you want to win an award. And, you know, for all the years that Anna put in, and particularly this season, when I thought she was absolutely outstanding, well-deserved.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Nicola Ward there picking up her second, and kind of a bit of disbelief there among myself that this was only her second award as well. And similarly, kind of Anna picking up her first, you kind of think Anna's been a shoe with, I suppose. She's had so many memorable games, and I'm sure this isn't going to be her last All-Star as well. There's a lot of people here picking up their first All-Stars, and you're kind of going, they should have more than one in the bag at this stage. But I'm sure there's plenty more to come. Very formidable force. And midfield, it's a harder sector in some ways to get an award than in other parts of the park, because there's only two going, whereas in other lines there's three or possibly six, depending on what way the All-Star selectors look at it. Sometimes you could be looking at six forwards in general or six backs in general or specific lines and bringing it down to three. But to win a midfield All-Star is a tremendous honour, and well done, Tana. It's fully deserved.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Of course, Elva Davran joins her at midfield, Galway winning her first All-Star as well. A great season for her. Niamh Carmody, she's a three-time winner already. Of course, captain fantastic of Kerry 22, 23 and 24. A shoe-in, I would imagine, for her fantastic year as well, maybe.
Yeah, and to pick up three All-Stars is a huge achievement if that was spread over a long number of years. But to pick up three in a row, what a phenomenal achievement. And it's only indicative of the displays she's put in over the last couple of years as well. She's continuing to go from strength to strength. Not that she was a bad player to start off with, but who knows what's going to come from her next year, because if she keeps up on this upward curve, you know, it's tremendous to see what has been seen from her over the last couple of championships and indeed the league as well. And you know, thoroughly deserves awards and leading by example. You know, no better person to have as a captain.
I yeah, absolutely.
Well,
they're all delighted up there in Finucane, St. Helens and North Kerry and Ben Longford as well, of course. 11 went to Aoife McKay, Armagh, her first award. 12 went to Olivia Dively, Galway, her first award, which again kind of surprised me because Olivia's there a while. 13 into the corner forward, Danielle O'Leary, picking up her first award. Obviously, I suppose we can go back to Aisling Desmond's time with Ratmore, but Ratmore have a new star now in Danielle O'Leary.
Absolutely, and you know, I suppose there's a great legacy there in the club, and another player coming to the fore from Ratmore now as well. And you know, I'm waxing lyrical about all these Kerry players, but it's well deserved.
It's not like you, Colin.
well, I've had a few Kerry teachers over the years, and there's a good bit of Kerry interest in the Midlands as well. So I can't but praise for praise is due, I suppose, as well. And again, with Danielle O'Leary, like, I mean, formidable in attack. She's been racking up some brilliant scores. I mean, not just racking them up in terms of number, but quality scores over the years as well. And I suppose the All-Star selectors, I know you were one in the past, so you probably have a tough enough task when it comes to choosing forwards from time to time, because there's some tremendous players up front on all teams. And Danielle's been one that's definitely been to the fore this year as well, and another I'm sure that it's going to be a first of many All-Stars for her as well, because the future is definitely bright for her, and what a year she's had, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Another girl picking up her first doll, Sarah, and we'll have a bright future, is Katie Kirk, of course, of Cork, mm-hmm. full forward at 14. Louise Murhertig, her fifth award, she picked up her first one in 2012, of course, and she back-to-back awards. Funny enough with Louise, she won back-to-back awards 12 and 13, then she won back-to-back awards 22, 23, but this time she's done three in a row as well, bringing her up to five. A most welcome winner as well, I think.
Absolutely, and I think this shouldn't be just her fifth award. I think she should have far more All-Stars, mm-hmm. to be honest, at this stage. I mean, of all the players that picked up All-Star awards on Saturday night, she's been the most consistent. She's the one with probably the most longevity there as well, in fairness. Like, I mean, you mentioned 2012, her first All-Star. She's been a long time on the go, and I suppose the big question, I know Louise was asked a couple of times on Saturday night, is she going to be around again next year? So that's the big question, I suppose, on everybody's lips. We'd love to see her around, because what a servant she's been, what a servant she's been to Kerry, what an ambassador for ladies football and Gaelic games in general as well. Like, it's done Pubble, Gaeltacht Coma, you know, everybody's delighted when we see Louise doing well, and, you know, no more deserving of winning that All-Ireland medal this year after such a long wait as well. But I suppose the big question is, will she be around next year? We all hope she will be, but a well deserved All-Star, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure she knows herself whether she's going to be around next year or not. She certainly has given plenty to the kingdom, and it's a call she can make herself, and whichever way it falls, I'd say, you know, people will give it a clap on the back. Come here to me. A big, I suppose not disappointment, but Brendan Martin passing away leading up to the All-Stars. Obviously, everybody knows the Brendan Martin Cup. People possibly didn't know Brendan Martin as well. Oh, tell us a bit about Brendan Martin.
I suppose Brendan was one of the main men back at the formation of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association back in 1974. I suppose a lot of talk this year was obviously about the 50th anniversary, and his name is synonymous with it. Obviously, the Brendan Martin Cup, presented annually to the winners of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Brendan from Tullamore, he lived in Kildare in recent years as well. And I suppose one of the interesting things about Brendan too was, it's not often we have cups named after people who are living. Mm-hmm. So in the GA, for instance, it wouldn't be a thing. But yeah, he decided back in around the time of the first championship back in October in 74, it came up that a cup was needed. He decided to give the cup, and lo and behold, his name stuck with it ever since. He was the first assistant treasurer of the LGFA as well, and he had a keen interest in the sport. He kept in close contact with everybody involved over the years. He wasn't involved as much in latter years in terms of administration or anything like that, but he certainly was a continuous presence, mm-hmm. over the years at the All-Ireland finals and at games up and down the country as well. And a big age as well, 86, and certainly all in the LGFA were sad to hear of his passing there in the last couple of days as
well. Yeah, absolutely. I used to meet him at all the All-Irelands, and he'd be saying, when are Kerry coming back? When are Kerry coming back? He's a great fondness for the great Kerry team, of course. And Kerry, it's ironic in a sense that, you know, Kerry came back this year and won their All-Ireland after such a break as well. Come here, we had Clonmore's Camogie team in last week, of course, winning the Munster Championship at the Intermediate Club. And one of the things that they didn't know at that stage was who was their opponents going to be. Was it going to be Leinster opponents? And it was a shoot-off between Laois and Kildare, and God, Colleen, your gang won.
Yeah, and only by a point in the end, St. Bridget. So they'd be from kind of the Rathdowney, Errol areas of Laois. They were in their first ever Leinster intermediate final yesterday. It was on O'Connor Park in Tullamore, and beaten Naas, of course, who have had a brilliant year. They were senior men's football champions, senior hurling champions, senior camogie champions, and Eadstown from just out the road in Naas were the senior ladies football champions in Kildare. So plenty to celebrate from a Kildare perspective around that area. But not yesterday, as St. Bridget's won by a point in the end. It was Emer Hassett who was very much to the fore for them. She scored 1-7 out of their 1-10. But I suppose one of the interesting things from a St. Bridget's perspective was they didn't score from the 45th minute until the end, and there was 6 minutes of injury time. Naas threw everything at them in the last quarter or so, but St. Bridget's just holding out for victory. So it's going to be an interesting battle now in the All-Ireland stages when they meet Clanmars, and that one's going to be on Sunday the 1st of December, and as far as I know it's going to be in Aherlow in Tipperary, the Galtee Gales Club there. So interesting game ahead in the All-Ireland series. But St. Bridget's first ever Leinster final, first time Leinster champions now. So the experience of Clanmars, it'll be interesting to see what will happen there in that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to that. Listen, Colleen, thanks very much for your time this evening. Fantastic, as always, to join us. We might give you a buzz again some night. You have good reception these days down there in the Midlands. Hard enough to find at the best times. But what we'll finish this segment with is we have a little clip of Brendan Martin, and of course, and the reason I want to play Brendan Martin this evening is that it's kind of poignant to think that, you know, like you said yourself, everybody knows the name on the cup, nobody knows the person or the backstory, but this is Brendan Martin talking about his own backstory and how it all happened.
I want to congratulate everybody on the 50th anniversary and to wish them every success, continued success into the future. I was born and reared in Dillon Street, Tullamore, and still an awfully man to the core. My two twin brothers, the eldest of the family, played for Offaly minor, and Tom played senior. I went off to London for a couple of years to study. My brothers brought me over there, having left school at 14, and I did quantity surveyor there. And came back then, got a job as a junior surveyor. After that, I set up my own business. We built schools and colleges all over Dublin. When I came back from London, I joined the Offaly Association. Now, most counties have an association in Dublin where people are working. We had teams, football teams, hurling teams. The Offaly Association then, the ladies began to come up in the early 70s, come up to the Phoenix Park where we trained. That's where they started kicking the football around, and then they asked us, would we train them, the solar run and all the rest. So that's how we got involved. Simple as that. And we got the Kerry girls to come up to Tullamore. We bought two sets of trophies. The local people in Tullamore put them up in their houses. It cost us very little. That was the first inter-county game in the August weekend of 1973. We thought, this is worthwhile, this might be something to start. So Hayes' Hotel in Turlet to hold the first meeting where the GAA was founded 90 years earlier in 1884. So in 1974, we had a first meeting there. We elected an executive committee. We could only get 8 counties interested by the summer of 74. The first All-Ireland final was played in Dollo in County Leash between Tipperary and Offaly. The game went on and on. I was on the sideline to the end, and there was only 1 point in it at the end, and Tipperary were the first winners. I had a few bob at the time. I was doing well in the building business, and I went down to John A. Cook's in Founders Street in Dublin. And that's when I bought the first cup, solid silver cup. And I thought, how am I going to present this? So I got the wild notion of asking the losing captain to present it to the winning captain. I didn't call it the Brendan Martin Cup. I didn't name it. It wasn't named for a few years. You just had a cup. And one interesting thing about the cup, on the very first All-Ireland afterwards, we brought both teams into the hotel, the local hotel in Dora. We filled the cup with red lemonade. There was no thought of drink at the time, absolutely none. I'm very, very proud nowadays to see the cup in my name, presented on the greatest national stadium in the country. But I want to congratulate everybody from the right to, from the top down to the bottom. And you've done a wonderful job, and I'm very proud of the cup, the game. And one thing is certain, when I'm gone and everybody else is gone, the game will survive.
There you go, the game will survive. The great voice, of course, of Brendan Martin, who sadly passed away this week. A big thanks as well to Colleen Duffy in the first segment, Kerry Lays. After the break, we're going to do a bit of scribbling about athletics.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Athletic Scribblings, it's a fascinating gem of a book, of course, written by my next guests, Jim O'Shea and Ger Crowley, and Mike Shea as well. And it was launched last Friday night, just out the road, really, in Farn 4, and it chronicles their memories and their experiences, I suppose, of times more recent and maybe times more past as well. And the book, you know, it records, there's loads of great kind of activities in the greater Farn 4 area and the countrywide area from the 1930s to the present, and it chronicles all that. Jerome, why a book?
Good question.
Had you not enough time running and training and the whole lot, you decided you would spend a few evenings in and we'll go writing?
I think it was due in large measure to Jim.
Yeah.
Jim is a very organised person and used to keep cuttings and results, and has an amazing interest in athletics and knows an amount of people involved and so on. So himself and Mike here and myself, we were just chatting one day and we felt that it would be nice to put that into a book form where it would be there on record for future generations. And I suppose we're around a long time and we had a lot of information and we had spoken to older people and they had passed on a lot of information to us. So between us, we felt that there was possibly a book in us, all right. Not realising that there was that much work in it, we thought it wouldn't take so long.
You thought it was an 800 metres, but it was actually a marathon or something.
It was a marathon.
Come here, Jim. Where does the story begin? I mean, obviously, you're the best of pals forever, but when did you become best of pals at the start?
Well, there are three of us here tonight, Ger Crowley, Mike O'Connor and myself, and one person absent, Joe Clifford. And the four of us have been together since the early 60s. We came together. And we'd done everything. We ran cross country and we ran road races and we jumped and, for my part, not very successfully, but I had an immense interest in it. When I was growing up and kicking a ball around fires, I was lightly built and I used to get thrown around a good bit. So
you were cornerback stream, weren't you?
A few sports came up and I won a medal or two at under 10s and under 12s and 14s, and you know, that lit the interest in it. And I continued, and I'm still involved today, and I love it all the time.
Can you put an amount of years on it, though? Early 1960s to what? Are you 50 years plus at it? Or are you 60 years plus at it?
I'm a member of the club now 64 years.
Oh.
64 years.
And you're still going
strong. Even before joining the club, I ran in the underage races at local sports in Fires and Ballyhar and Corrow and places like that.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely sport to be involved in.
Yeah.
Great variety. You have running, jumping, throwing. The person that isn't able to run can jump. The person that isn't able to jump can throw. There's a great variety.
Yeah.
And also, of course, there's walking. And it's a lovely sport with a great variety. Now, it's a lonely sport, I suppose, in one way, in that it isn't so much a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
An individual sport. And it's up to yourself to go out and train and... I do realise that in football and hurling and basketball and that, you have the team element and you have the comradeship, you know, of your teammates. But we've gone this far, we'll continue with it.
Fair play. And Mike, is your responsibility to keep him intact, is it?
Not really, no. I think they keep me intact, the truth be known. I suppose my at least is I played a small bit of football with Kilcommon, and I was long and lanky, and the ball had been one place and I'd been the other place, and all I can hear is, get over there, you. And there was
It'd never be like that in Kilcommon, was it?
Not at all. There was a long, there was a sports meeting in Kilcommon, about 1966, I'd say, and Jim was there competing in the open events, and I think I won about three events under 18 or seven, that, and I was an apprentice in leapers, and I was walking one day in the machine room, and Mr. O'Shea was on a cylindrical grinding machine behind in the machine room. Come over here to me, he said, I think I wouldn't make a bad runner, and the rest is history. Oh, wow. And that's it, and that's how Jim got me into it. And I suppose, you know, I felt it, if I put in the effort, I got rewarded for it. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes in football that time, like, you didn't have the same competitions. Mm-hmm. And my first event was a cross-country race in Walsh's Farm. And Mick Gainey from Scatlaglen, I hope he's listening. How are you, Mick? And Mick Gainey won it. They were the Plaster Gaineys. And I was second. And I got a lovely medal that Tom McCarthy had brought back from Boston. And I still have it.
Wow.
And Tom was one of our idols at the time, I suppose. And shoes and that, basketball shoes we had. And we was right far and four across the top of the front of them and that everything. And there were no gels. And as I said, Jerome's dad, Jack, God rest him, was the great man, kept the club going, and he used to take us everywhere in an old console, and we'd be pulling up to a race, and he'd say, gee lads, we'd want to start tugging out, and we'd be tearing off the clothes in the back of the car, and the only water we had was to keep the radiator topped up. There was no hydration or anything at the time. So I've lovely memories of it, I suppose, and I have made lifelong friends.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing about Dáil Athletic, like, you can get in a half an hour, and you'd couple of days a week, and as you said yourself, being from Castlevine, great tradition down there. The Shays, poor old Pat Pathway, God rest him, Christy Reardon, Mike Shea, Larkin, Jack and stuff, Keane Murphy now, and you know, they're the great gang around, and we're all kind of, as well, we've a friendship that's hard to describe at times. You know, footballers talk about whether we should have got all stars and all Ireland medals. You know, we talk about times maybe, and whether we're drinking or whether we're eating or have the new shoes or whatever. Yeah. So that's it.
Different times.
Here we are.
Come here, Jerome. It's guessed that your father was referenced there. So, I mean, it was in the family beforehand, or was he just a taxi driver?
He was involved himself. He was an athlete. Mm. He was secretary. We're going back now. The club was formed, we feel, around 1932-33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were GA Sports held in Fern Forth. On those years, he was secretary of the GA club at that time. Pat Broderick was chairman, and Gary Barry was the treasurer, and they were also athletes. And of course, the GA were running athletics up to 1926. Gaelic Athletic Association.
That's right. I was going to say it because we interviewed the late Jerry Kiernan a long time ago, and it was one of his beefs with the whole GA. It was like the Gaelic Athletic Association. He felt athletics was maybe the left behind letter in the GA at times, and the whole lot. But there was that feeling. But it's interesting to go back to the 30s, like.
It is. Athletics were the priority with Michael Cusick, the chairman, and some of his associates. And the GA ran the athletics until 1926, mm-hmm. and then the NACAI, the National Athletic and Cycling Association of Ireland, was formed, mm-hmm. and felt that you know, it would be better for the sport to have their own organisation. So they took it over in 1926. But as I say, the GA still ran it, and my father was involved, got involved through the GA, and then it evolved into they were athletes, those three that I named. So they formed the athletic branch that's when the club was formed.
Yeah.
So my father was involved and all down through the years, and it was his main interest in you know, his hobby as well.
But it must be great memories, I mean, to go back and, you know, people are still referring to your father as the man that drove the car, and I suppose so many people, I suppose, passed through the hands of your father in a way that, you know, they wouldn't have got involved in athletics and the whole lot, so it kept it there. Jim O'Shea, can I ask you you mentioned about how it started and the whole lot, and we referenced, you know, the clippings and maybe the Kerrymen things and the whole lot. Did that start by accident, or was this? Can you remember your first time in the paper, your name on the paper?
Soon after I joined the club in 1960, I was drafted in, forced in, as a secretary.
Right.
And at that time, in my enthusiasm, I kept meticulous records of everything that happened in the county. Cross country, road, track and field, results of county championships. And I had a lot of that stuff in old notebooks, packed away on a shelf in my garage. And one day I got this idea that, you know, I'd put them into some sort of order.
Yeah.
So I got an A4 pad and a biro, and I started writing bits and pieces, a bit about 1956 and a bit about 1963 and back and forth. Hence the title of the book, Athletic Scribbling.
I know, yeah. It's amazing.
So, I had a good lot of stuff. Unfortunately, I suppose, the people that were involved in the 1940s and the early 50s had passed on,
mm-hmm.
and we found it hard to get results from that time, except that Jerome's dad as well had notebooks and bits and pieces, you know, that we got information from.
So you cross-referenced bits and pieces.
We did, yes.
What, was there a lot, if you went back to the newspapers, were they covering athletics at the time the same way they'd be covering football matches, or was there...
They were, in fact, athletics was covered, I would say, to a greater extent then mm-hmm. than it is now.
Wow.
Even not going back so far, there were three very prominent writers in the national papers. There was Sean Diffley,
mm-hmm.
And there was Tom O'Riordan, who ran for Ireland in the Olympics, and a man in the Cork Examiner, Brendan Mooney. Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Brendan Mooney. And they had weekly columns about athletics. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but the publicity given to athletics nowadays, I suppose sport has got more commercialised.
Mm.
And there's more money in lots of the sport now. It has sort of fallen behind that little bit.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know?
Until the Olympics come around and they get the front page.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's a point well made. I mean, athletics goes on all year round, just when the Olympics are there,
yeah.
And the whole lot. Come here, talk about Olympics, Mike O'Shea. I mean, obviously there was Kerry Championships. Did you compete with each other or against each other or for each other?
We belted the life out of each other in a race, but afterwards we might have went for a pint or two.
What kind of racing? Well, it was like, obviously you have, I suppose people call track and field and cross country, but everybody listening tonight will remember cross country all over Kerry. There isn't a field or farmer's field that hasn't been run. Of course, we mentioned the great John Egan out in Kilgarvin.
That's right, Kilgarvin.
Tiggy
done the whole weekend.
That's true. So these are all the names that people will say when you mention them. They'll say, oh yeah, I remember him. And I definitely remember
John Lennon.
John, yeah, absolutely, up and down the mountain.
Griffin's here in Tralee.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Griffin man back in Clarglen that passed away a couple of years ago. Great runner as well.
Willie Conahan.
Kevin Griffin.
Yeah.
You know, so you can remember them all. So, but like, were they winning county championships that they were up there? Or
yeah,
what?
Well, you see, and I suppose Jim alluded there to a small bit, like about the publicity in that, like, sadly, this weekend saw the national cross-country senior championships and juveniles above in Inniskillen.
Mm-hmm.
The main newspapers never covered that. Now, it was our national day for cross-country. You talk about cross-country and the names we know and everything mm-hmm. else. And, like, if that happened to the National Football Association, mm-hmm. the National Rugby, like, there was the stuff that was in the new sports papers now the last day was all about Roy Keane's future son-in-law and all this stuff, like, and here we had fellas, yet when they'll go to the Olympics, sure, Ireland are no good, they wouldn't bait their way to a paper bag or something, yet if we had given them a bit of publicity maybe when they went to their own communities, like, you take, we'll say, Jim spoke about athletics and walking, race walking, I do a bit of race walking, and David Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
David won nationals and silver Europeans, walked into St. Brendan's College in Killarney, and he might as well have won a Tiddlywinks race. But had he won a grade B GAA county championship, the school would be called together, they'd nearly be given a half day. How do we do it? I don't know. It's probably a rent is both the women.
Yeah, it is true. Well, look, it's rent of the home. The culture is probably training artificials inside at the moment. We actually had St. Brendan's on there. And of course, he went to the Mon National School as well. But
that's right.
Far to walk across the road which is great. Come here, back to the book. I mean, how's it? How are people reading through it and saying, God, I definitely won it in 1961. You have me down here in 1963 or the whole lot. Are people reading it?
Yes, we haven't had any complaints. Yes, we're all's good so far. We've had a few phone calls and we had a lovely night.
Talk about the night. I mean, who turned up? I mean, is it all the old pals? Is it a lot of interest? You had Jimmy Dean in launching it.
And it was lovely to see the old, some of the old members. We hadn't met for years and it was great. And there was a lovely reunion there. We had Jimmy Dean launching the book, and Jimmy did some running as well, and spoke very well about the importance of athletics as a basis for other sports.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so we had a great night. It went out very well, sold a lot of books, and the feedback so far is very good, Donald. We've got
So you have a secretary, you have a PRO here who's great. You need a treasurer for the book now, of course, to count the books. After the break, we'll talk about that.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Century of Athletics in the Farn Four Main Valley area and beyond. And of course, booked by Jim O'Shea and Jerome Crowley. And delighted to have Mike O'Shea as well with him here in studio. Mike, we were just kind of talking off here about, we'll say, the publicity and the whole lot and maybe the lack of it at times. But go back to the races as described maybe 30 years ago in a race, because that time you got the full race and we were kind of discussing it, that it would keep you entertained even if you weren't at it, and you'd have a clue of it and you could go up the next morning and down to the post office, and if I ran into Ger Crowley below in the post office, I couldn't have a conversation and say to him, God, you were struggling there in the second lap and you only caught him on the third lap, and the whole lot. All that description is gone as such.
It is, unfortunately. Like I said, Jim now would have been a great PRO in his day, and if Jim wrote a report and said the county juvenile and the county novice cross country, you'd get a flavour as to it started after a kilometre, there was a six, and after this, and you got a sense nearly that you were looking at it like a video recording of the race and that, like, you know.
And sadly, that's not done today. Absolutely,
you know.
Come here, talk about the newspapers in an instance, Jim. I mean, we used to kind of look forward to the Thursday slot and the Carsevi notes to see what Durkin put in about us, whether we came first or 37th or 94th, or, you know, we came second in the cross country B team or something. But there was a kind of a place for everybody in the sport, and that was so important to kind of maybe transcribe that, because I don't know whether your parents were too excited about it or not, but other people were excited about it.
Well, there was quite a good following for athletics, I feel. But in recent years, and I suppose it has something to do with the commercialisation of sport, in that money has come into sport now big time. And if you take two examples at the weekend, you had Katie Taylor winning $6 million for a fight. And worse still, you had Mike Tyson, who had his last competitive fight 19 years ago, took $20 million for the asking.
Not bad for a 58-year-old, though.
Not bad for a 58-year-old, is right, yeah. And that has sort of, in my eyes, it has sort of taken the sport out of sport, in that everything today, you look at the English Premier League people on 250,000, 300,000 a week. We have gone away from the basic sport, really and truly, the grassroots, the grassroots. When you think of the work that was done, and we'll go back again to the early 50s, I remember attending sports inquiries, funnily enough, organised by a sports committee, not the athletic club, a band of people who got together once a year. Some of them had very basic knowledge of athletics, but they were all there in a community effort, and they banded together and they ran a superb sports. Would you believe, Donald, that in 1956 at Fiery Sports there was a pole vault competition?
Oh.
Rarely seen at any sports in the country. And the way they done it, they had a high jump standards. They strapped two longer pieces of wood onto them, and they had an aluminium bar. And the landing area was rather novel compared with today's mats.
Yeah.
You had earth dug from underneath the bar, and you had it mixed with three or four bags of sawdust, which was brought across the road from O'Connor Sawmills.
Okay.
And that was it.
You got some landing. But it's a point well made, because, I mean, we're talking about sports, and everybody knows athletics, but maybe we'll go back to kind of throwing and the jumping and the whole lot.
Yeah.
I always feel there's a great avenue for kids to kind of explore this, and who knows that you don't have the best shot putter inside in your sixth class because he can't play football, he can't play hurling.
I also feel that maybe there's too much of an emphasis on running. Mm-hmm. There are we've had wonderful weight throwers, you know, down through the years. The John Lawlers who competed in the Olympics and those people. And it isn't all about running. There's people there. There's an event there for everybody.
Absolutely.
An event for everybody.
Come here, let's go back to some of the good memories. Some of the great races. Jerry, give us a great race. Or some of the great champions, maybe, that you would have met along the way, or, you know, some of the great stories along the way.
Yes, I suppose I'm going back a long ways now to Ronnie Delaney.
Oh, yeah.
Melbourne Olympics. Yeah. He was terrific in that race. Anybody who has seen it will remember it and his finish. You know, I suppose he was our idol when we were
growing
up.
Can you remember watching that, or was it on the radio?
It was on the radio, yeah. It was 56. It was pre-television.
Was that a big chat then at the time? I mean, was it a big chat at the silage table or the dinner table or whatever table was?
It was indeed. And I remember I was going to school in Tralee afterwards and into the Tralee CBS, and I was doing running there, and one of the teachers, when he wanted to be a bit derogatory, used to call me Ronnie Delaney.
Ronnie Delaney, maybe.
I was no Ronnie Delaney, but I tried.
Good stuff. Come here, Mike. Some of the stories down the years, I mean, obviously I can still vividly remember, I don't know what age I was, but I remember John Tracy up to his ears in muck, and he running around the place, and I remember John Tracy, the race that he kind of, everybody thought that he won and then he lost, but he won it on the line again over in Crystal Palace. Are they kind of memories that you would have as well when you talk about great stars of the sport? Gerry Kiernan and another, of course.
We were in Crystal Palace the night that Tracy beat Ovett.
Oh my God, tell us about that.
Jim O'Shea, Charlie Cronin, Tom McCarthy and myself travelled in a Slattery's bus.
Wow.
And we made the Crystal Palace, and by God, that made our night. I'll
tell
never,
us about
ever
the race,
forget
though,
it.
Because
it was an absolute, like, Ovett was flying at the time, obviously. Yeah. And Tracy was hanging in there with a kind of a wire. He did kind of a little glint in his eye, I think, going around as well. He knew that he was on form, and maybe that Ovett mightn't be at his best. And Ovett, of course, started showboating, coming down the home straight, waving to the crowd. He was Olympic champion. And all of a sudden, the boy from Waterford, but Jim will tell you a better story about him in a minute. But I think Kiernan, to me, only one of two Kellymen to break 4 minutes for the mile. The other was Frank Conway. Kiernan ran the marathon in 2:11 or something like that in Los Angeles. And just before we forget it, the book will be available in Brickeen Craft Shop from Wednesday. Johnny Maguire, thank you.
Perfect.
So we have it there. And our own road race. And our own road race in Fallon Fall as well. Niall Cusick, John Lenehan, John Griffin, they were all winners of it. And Tillon again, St. Stephen's Day event master, have the thing at the moment as well. So anyone that's interested.
We won't forget, we'll give it before
Jim, you can give him
going back to before John Tracy won his world championships, the first real big event, I suppose, stepping stone that he won was, believe it or not, in Fallon Foar. Up in Flint's Farm in Skahees, the Munster Junior Cross Country, on a terribly, terribly, terribly cold day.
Oh.
And I met him after. He won the race, and he didn't stop. He kept going. Out down a little boreen and out onto the main road where the Waterford bus was. And he said, I didn't stop, he said, I never wore him during the race, and I kept going, and I told the driver, turn on the heater.
He was frozen.
That was John Tracy as a Munster junior.
So he won his Munster championship at that time in Farn 4.
In Farn 4, yeah. We promoted the Munster junior championships, yeah. And it was a wicked cold day.
Yeah.
Going back to Ronnie Delaney, Donald, I have in my shed at home the original page from the Evening Press, and the heading was Delaney Does It for Ireland.
Wow.
The Evening Press at that time, and it was about 2-inch capitals, full headline, Delaney Does It.
And ye being athletics people at the time, Ger, how proud are we of that? Because, you know, as you said, obviously football and hurling and every other sport comes along, but as athletics it was an Olympic gold medal, top of the top, best in the world, at a very competitive event as well, of course.
Yeah, he was a superstar. You know, he was the superstar, I suppose, when we were growing up. You see, going back to the 50s, Donald, and before it, you had very little sport in Ireland. Athletics was one of the main sports.
Yeah.
Athletics, running, jumping, throwing across country. And then you had the football in our part of the country. You had hurling in North Kerry. So it was every Sunday there was a sport, and in the winter then you had the cross country. And to be said, and in fairness to cross country, it is a very good team sport. You experience yourself there as a young lad.
Just keep finishing.
Keep finish. The man that finishes 16th, 17th could be just as important as the guy you needed for to finish. And so it's a very good, it gives your average runner a chance, you know.
Does, yeah.
So I always like to emphasize the cross country. I think it's a very good team sport from that point of view, because athletics
as Lorcan Murphy said to me one day back in Kimmare when I was about 12, he says, 33rd Donal is better than 34th, you know.
That's it. right. Yeah.
Something we haven't mentioned, Donal, tonight is the contribution that women have made to athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Up until the mid-60s, women were banned from athletics. They weren't allowed to compete. And then there was a breakthrough, and you had the Mary Purcells and Sonia O'Sullivan's and the Katharina McKiernan's, and they have done wonderfully well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even at local level in our own club, there are a bunch of women that compete, and they do jobs within the club that have been absolutely wonderful. And I have no doubt our club would hardly have survived without their contribution over the years. Yeah.
And of course, they I suppose they were the people that broke the ceiling back then for, we have a golden age of ladies.
There were, yes. There were, yes. There.
We leave the final words to the Kilcoman man.
Gillian.
Yeah. Gillian. Have you a couple of quick
I
words?
Have, I suppose, in the sense.
And to put it in the context, right, you have about 600 metres to run as fast as you can.
600 metres. I suppose one of the things as well in the club is the diversity of the activities, from running, throwing, jumping, javelin and race walking. Mm-hmm. Gillian O'Sullivan is getting a Hall of Fame award. The Printables were very good from the Dingle area. They're represented, and David Kinney, and I keep the old Masters side going and gone into a new category now at the end of the month. We won't say what category it is, Jim, anyway. But don't forget that the book is available in Brecheen. It's available in Crowley's in Farn 4, and our road race is up in Eventmaster, and our road race is on at 11 o'clock on the 26th St. Stephen's Day.
The shops in Farn 4.
And the shops
and
in Farn 4 and Fireys and Castlemaine and Milltown as well.
And all. So can I come in here? Murphy's Food Store in Milltown.
Yeah,
James Arthur will give you a copy any day of the week.
Poor James Arthur. Still supplying him from behind the counter, is he? He have a lot of books on that counter. Uh-huh. Listen,
Did a great job.
it looks fantastic. And there's some fantastic photographs in it as well.
And Peter.
Which we didn't get around to talking about. Come here to me. Will you come back to me maybe in February? And we'll bring another couple of soldiers with you, and we can do an hour some night and maybe drill down. And we'll leave the Ronnie Delaney's alone, the John Tracy. We'll talk about our own Kerry ones as well. But we'll definitely do it in January or February. I think that's important. Up after the break, of course, we will be talking about Abby Dorney and how they exited the Munster Championship.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Donald, congratulations to Jim O'Shea and Jerome Crowley.
Crowley on the publication of the book From All Jim's Friends at Main Street in Milltown. They do say behind every great man is a better woman, and all the success is down to Anne O'Shea. Well, well done, Anne O'Shea. If we keep him running that fast for that long, you're doing a great job. Call in there, Dan in New York. Very surprised that Kayleigh Cronin didn't take Player of the Year award. Is this the first time that an All-Ireland winning team has not taken the title? Well, unfortunately, Dan, you'd sink on that iceberg, because last year Louise Murray Hurtick won it, and she didn't win the All-Ireland that year either. So it does happen from time to time. In fact, it's the third year in a row this has actually happened, but your point is well made. In normal years and a lot of years, the winning team normally get it, but not this year. But that one, mind Kayleigh, she's got her All-Star, she's got two, and she's another year and plenty more years ahead of her to win the Players Player of the Award as well. Don't forget Jackie Horgan, All-Star, of course, from SD at the weekend, of course, her rising All-Star. I don't agree to hear Wishy Fogarty's voice again. Hard to believe he's gone 6 years. Rest in peace. Congratulations to all those Kerry ladies and their All-Star awards. All well deserved. And another one then. How did Kerry not take the All-Star in the cornerback position? It's crazy. We have two of the best cornerbacks in Eilish Lynch and Kiara Murphy, the two most consistent players in the team that are just excellent in their positions. Very disappointing for one of not to receive an All-Star. They were both miles ahead of the Armagh and the Galway girls that got it. Well, of course, that is a very subjective view, and it's one you're entitled to have. But I'm sure the All-Star collectors looked at every game and everything. But yeah, absolutely, Eilish Lynch, I thought, and Kiara Murphy, again, plenty days ahead of them. They were up nominated and the whole lot. Now, for one North Kerry team, their Munster journey earned all the way through. Back home to Abbey Dorney, they looked really good at halftime, I had to say. But my next guest, James McCarthy, the car just ran out of diesel, maybe, did it?
Yeah, you know, especially in the second half, Donal, the conditions deteriorated, and maybe the Cashel led played their best hurl in the last quarter of an hour. But it's been a great fight, though, but just too many wides the first half. You had to really capitalise on that breeze there yesterday. It was strong enough, but you'd be surprised how strong it was on the pitch. Like, and you know, maybe they hit 7 or 8 wides, maybe 10 wides by half time is an awful lot. Like,
yeah.
Huge amount.
Particularly, I suppose, the way that you're playing, every chance missed is a crucial chance. That all said, I mean, they limped into the break 1-6 all against Tipperary champions, and it wasn't very evident from the first half that Cashel were going to kind of maybe finish a bit stronger. But before we even talk about that, let's talk about what everybody saw at the start of the game, James. That point, did you ever score one of those points by accident?
I didn't score many points at all. So I know 1 point. If I'm midfield, I take that. I love that. Nobody, in fairness, the lad was just maybe lost in disorientation or whatever, but great strike, super strike. That's what
it was, a massive strike. But if you looked at it closely, I mean, normally we'll say the two players standing one side and there are two players, and there was a bit of a kind of, I don't know what you call it in North Kerry, a bit of a push and shove and the whole lot. But as the ball arrived to the player, he was kind of in the wrong position. He gathered it easily enough, but normally if he gathered it, there would be a defensive player ahead of him. There was nobody, so obviously he must have thought from the war goal he was on the right side of the field, and just took his shot, which was a massive shot.
It was, in fairness, and look at it. The referees these days, though, they don't wait around for players to go side by side or for hurlies in the ground. They could kill each other in a forward in the middle, and the ref just throws it, and it could hop off anything but go anywhere. Really, when you pick it up, you could be disoriented. I see an awful lot in games, like, fellas, I won't say not carry him, thank God. We know which way we're going, like, we know the pitch as well, like, but for a team travelling down their first time in Outdoor, maybe he didn't know the lay of the land, as they call it, but massive score, like, but what is that for Abidorny? The reaction by everyone in the crowd, like, was kind of surprised. It took a long time for people to kind of realise what was going on, I'd say. But it took a few seconds, like, but no, it was a great start. But, you know, it was that first half, Donald Day. You look at the scores that Abidorny got, bar Niall Mahoney, O'Sheen, and Mike Leary, that's all the score. Three players scored, and that own point. So that's not enough. Mm-hmm. That's not enough for a turn to win Munster Championship games.
And they hung on in, I suppose, for midway through the second half. But then once the goals started to arrive for Cashel, you kind of even felt at that stage, you know, that the gaps were opening. And I suppose the better hurlers were on the tip side.
They were. And, you know, Abidorny, for the first time I've seen them all year, they looked a bit leggy. They did look a bit leggy. They looked a bit tired. Kind of it wasn't maybe what the break. They did have a 2-week break, but they looked a bit tired. Maybe it's just the intensity of these battles they had. Bricky Rangers was a new level for them. This was another level again. We kind of signalled it to Donal. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how good Cashel were. And you can see when you're bringing on an inter-county player, as a sub in the last 15 minutes, that's what turned the game. Like, they were only 2 points up with 10, 15 minutes. 15 minutes to go, I think they were 2 points up. And then in the last 15, Cashel won by 7 or 8 points. Like, that's the difference. That's a huge difference. They could really bring on their subs, and the return they got off their bench was massive.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, look, well done to Abbey Doran. It was a fantastic season for them, winning their first championship in an awful long time, and going well into the Munster campaign as well, and they'll always have that Bricky Rangers victory with them as well. James, another fantastic game, of course, shown for the first time on RT was the Ulster Club Hurling Championship at the weekend. I mean, this was an amazing game.
It was unbelievable. Look at, like, Schlocknail, anybody knows hurling will know Schlocknail, and rookies, like, they're a superb hurling team. They've got to All-Ireland Club Finals before, and Cushendall have got to All-Ireland Club Finals before. We've had All-Ireland winning club teams from Antrim, but for the Derry Boys to turn them over in a, what a game, like, the scoring, like, on, was it 26 to, mm-hmm. I don't know what the finals caused. It was massive anyway. It was absolutely enormous.
Like, the full-time, like, score was like a score that was asked for extra time, do you know, the amount of scoring they had done.
It was huge. Yeah. Huge. Like, for McManus to step up at the last puck and Schlocknail, it could easily have killed, thrown them back on their feet and say, oh, Jesus, our chance is gone. But fair play to them, they rallied, and, you know, they've been around the block. They've been in, you know, Dublin football men as well. They've been around All-Ireland football final as well. Like, so, dual clubs can exist. Like, you saw in the last couple of weeks, between the LGFA and the Camogie and the GAA, we've had a mess where they don't want to hear about dual clubs, and they'll throw fixtures together and they won't even consider dual clubs. But that would be the detriment of teams like Schlocknail. You'll see Lochmore Castellini playing the football championship now next week. They played hurling yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be desperate to see teams like that go. When they have players that are so talented to actually be on both teams and play well on both teams. You can see the Derry lad that retired from intercounty football this year. What was his name again?
It was Harley Brendan Rogers, because he had a fantastic game, Chris McKay. But then
Chris McKay, that fella.
Yeah.
He has ten senior hurling championship medals in Derry. So, like, that's a phenomenal dual player, like a phenomenal footballer. So, like, they have scale. Like, you look at it, and they're actually don't think about Schlocknail. They're huge Camogie as well. They'll be also champions in Camogie as well. Like, and they've won All Ireland Camogie title as well. Like, so, they're an unbelievable team. But what a game! It was brilliant. And as you say, first time seeing this on RTE. Like, that's the benefit of seeing these games. We never get to see these games before. Like, probably would have missed. But it was brilliant. I'd sit down on a Saturday evening and watch that. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, there was huge excitement. I'd say there was huge excitement as well in Mullingar at the weekend. Castletown Gagan. Who saw them defeat Thomastown by 11 points? I mean, that must be one of the greatest club victories of a long time.
Look at it, and you'll say, if you didn't know your hurling, you'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You would be told, yeah, that's how this happened. But you have to look at it in the cold light of day. Thomastown are only up from intermediate. They were picking the intermediate.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Castellón Gagan and all the Westmeath boys had been performing, and even the Carlow boys, they play Leinster senior hurling championship every year. So, like, the Westmeath winners and the Carlow winners play senior hurling championship in Leinster every year. Unlike the Kerry lads, we're down here, we play intermediate. Mm-hmm. So, like, these fellas are operating at a high level the whole time. And you could see on the Castle Gagan team, they had O'Brien, they had 3 or 4 more lads. They had a good backbone of Westmeath, strong Westmeath players who've been competing in Division 1 the last couple of years as well. Like, so, really, really good team. But as you say, it was no fluke either. They absolutely hammered them. But then again, Thomastown losing the players straight after halftime didn't help.
Yeah,
and I really said, put it back in their horn at that stage. I think it was level. There wasn't much in it. Like, but, like, that was a huge loss for him. And these Westmeath boys, as you know, from Kerry, we meet them over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. like Joe McDonough's, everything. These are good hurlers, and they've been operating Clan Kill and these fellas for the last couple of years. And you can say Mount Leinster Rangers from Carlow, they went to an All-Ireland Club senior hurler final as well. Like, so there is pedigree around that area there, and what they're doing is they're operating at senior club level, whereas we maybe have to win a few more, like Abadorney, Kilmiley, Cross last year, get to more Munster finals and win an intermediate grade, then try and make that step back up into Munster senior club hurling again and see how we get on there. Then you might see results like this happening for Kerry teams.
Absolutely. Well, look, hopefully we will. James McCarthy, thanks for this evening. We will chat again in the next couple of weeks. Of course, you're limbering up for the Christmas quiz, are you?
Oh, oh no, are we going to be defeated again? Am I with John Kennedy again? I'll never win if I'm with John Kennedy.
December the 16th anyway, so get yourself good and ready.
Right. We'll be ready.
If I get a good result this year. That, of course, was James McCarthy. Up after the break, we talk to Maurice Foley about Beaufort.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Beaufort are the winners of the Mid Kerry Senior Football Championship. Of course, they got the better of Kiel yesterday, 10-12 points in Milltown. And my next guest, Maurice Foley, delighted to win, Maurice, I presume. But I'd say the nerves with a couple of minutes to go were fairly shot, were they?
Yeah, they were, Donal. It was a tight game all the way through. We led probably for most of it, but every time we went a pint or two ahead, Kiel came back to within a pint again. So yeah, down to the last minute, down to the last kick of the game, it was in the melting pot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, you know, you've won loads of them, but I mean, every time you win one, they're special and they're important as well. I mean, obviously for Kiel, they were in a final back-to-back as well. But what did it mean for Beaufort yesterday to get over that line? Because I noticed after the game, I mean, there's that kind of special family moment when you win and your family are out and the photographs are being taken and all sorts of generations are clapping you on the back. I mean, district championships still mean something.
Oh, big time. They mean a lot in McKerry because they don't come by that often, like, you know. Mm-hmm. We would have a few players on the team there now. They would have been going for their fifth. But then we had a couple of young guys in and it was their first, like. And to have your family around on the day, and you know, a lot of people go to McKerry Championship that mightn't go to maybe very few games during the year, but McKerry Championship seem to bring them all out, like. So yeah, the tap in the back is nice now and again, like, because you know, as they say, there's only a short distance between the tap in the back and a kick in the ass, like, you know, so.
But some of us have longer backs than the rest of us, Maurice. So you might be 9 inches, maybe, where the rest of us might be 6. Come here to me, Maurice. I mean, for the club itself, I mean, obviously, I mean, people talk about, say, the pride and the jersey and the whole lot. It's nice to finish the year with something in your hand as well. I mean, particularly, I suppose, for Beaufort. I mean, everybody will watch you over the last number of years, so close and intermediate and getting, I suppose, good results here and there along the way. But it's important as well to have something maybe in the hand. It shortens the winter as well, maybe.
Yeah, definitely, like, because I would have been talking to Ian O'Malley there, our manager there, during the year, and what was the year like that, out of all the games we played, I think we actually only lost 2 games in the whole season, and we drew a few, got promoted to Division 1, and we were still kind of looking at it as not a great year, whereas by finishing it off with the Mid-Kerry Championship, like, it just put it just gives you a bit of silverware, like, that makes it all the more special, I suppose, like. The intermediate last to Glimmer would have been a big kick to us, like. But like that, the boys sat down and they said they'd regroup and they said that they'd go and give the McKerry Championship one good crack again, because last year Rangers would have beaten us in the semi final, and so like that there was a hurt there, so there was a want there again this year to win one, like, you know.
Yeah. And it was a very competitive Mid-Kerry Championship final as well. I mean, sometimes you go to district finals and, you know, one team are going to win because they might be 2 divisions ahead or whatever. But this Kiel team that are coming, I mean, they really are coming good, aren't they?
Oh, big time. I mean, they got promoted to the Division 2 this year, like, and, I mean, they beat Rangers, like, and well-deserved. So we knew going over there, like, that it was going to be tough. We knew we won. I mean, we put up good scores against Glimbe and Milltown in previous games, but we knew going over to Milltown, like, against Kiel, like, that there wasn't going to be a big score put up, and that it would be down to maybe a kick of the ball or two, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. What did Ian O'Malley say to Mike Breen to get the opening goal?
Well, that's why you need your Kerry boys on special days like yesterday.
Yeah.
You need them. I mean, Sean and Mike now yesterday, they put in a good shift, and it was great when the final whistle blew, like, to see the youngsters coming up and asking for autographs, like, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it was great that they're Kerry players, but it's still nice to have them playing with your club as well on the important days, like, you know.
Yeah, well, it's hugely important to have them in your dressing room at all occasions when they play with your club, because, I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, they come through the under-10s and 12s and all that and along the way, and I suppose some of them branch off and remain club players, and some of them go into, I suppose, development squads and head off into the minor brigade and come back. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they are club players, they're of the club. And yesterday, I suppose, it's like you said, people came maybe watching them as well. And did I see Jack O'Connor hiding around the stand?
By all accounts, he was there all right, doing a low profile, watching what was going on. Like, so.
There's no low profile in Milltown. He was spotted quick and spotted a lot of time. Come here to me, finally, I mean, where do you place this? I mean, obviously yourselves and Rangers have been fighting for the love of Mid-Kerry for ages, and Glenbair there as well. And then I suppose the smaller clubs, Keele obviously trying to get in there as well, Milltown, Castlemaine, of course. It's not an easy championship to win, is it?
No, it's not. And I suppose for Beaufort, at the moment we have a crop of players, like, you know, and there is good talent there, and there's a good age profile there. So I suppose our thing is like that we have to try and win as many as we can with this bunch of players, because, you know, at underage, our numbers wouldn't be big. So you'd be hoping like that this bunch of players, like that there is a few more in them, like, you know, because... Mm-hmm. They average around 30 years of age, like a good few, one of them might be 35, then you've got the young guys, the 20s, like, you know.
They're not so, like...
And it was great yesterday, like, Kieran Dinehy, you know, he went on to the pitch yesterday after getting over a serious injury with the last year and a half. So it was good for him, and it was good for the club to see him going on to the pitch, like, you know.
And what were the celebrations like after? Where did you go, home?
Well, we went home for a small bit, but we had to go and have a few glasses of water in the local, like, you know.
Absolutely. But, and of course, the other side of the coin too, that, you know, it's a kind of a big tradition. I presume you're going to go to the schools and let everybody see the famous cup.
Yeah. No, I'd be hoping now a few of the lads now will get in there this week, maybe towards the end of the week, because as I say, it is great for the kids. When we won the junior that time, when we went to the schools, like, sure, the kids were delighted, like, you know. It's just something special.
Yeah, absolutely. And sure, that's what it's all about, of course, inspiring the next generation. The next generation of Mike Breens and Sean O'Brien's to come through, of which you have many. Lisa Morris, congratulations. Well done. We'll park it there. Beaufort are the Mid-Kerry champions for 2024. Big pressure on you to do back-to-back now, I suppose, is there?
Yeah. Well, we hope we have a management there that we are very proud of. Like, and they're our own group of lads, ex-players. Like, so we'd be hoping we would. And we brought in a South Kerry man this year. Like, and he was a massive addition.
All right.
Alan Devand, a Skellig Rangers man.
Oh yeah. Well, God Almighty. Yeah. They're below there in Fort Meath, all right, as well. Yeah. Fair play to you. Well, listen, he'll keep you fit anyway if anything else happens.
Sure.
Absolutely. Listen, Morris Foley, thanks very much. And that was Morris Foley, chairman of the Beaufort J Club, celebrating their Mid-Kerry Championship. Up after a break, we're going to talk East Kerry Championship and West Kerry Championship.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're flying around the districts, of course, and we were in Mid-Kerry. Let's go back to West Kerry, because they're very quiet back in West Kerry, Brandon. You must have other things on your minds altogether, but you have two teams in, say, the West Kerry final.
Yes, we're always quiet back here, Donald. You know, I don't know what you've been hearing or whatever. Yeah, but we're coming to the end of the Moorns of Dingle West Kerry Championship. We have Castle Gregory, who beat Honiscall in the semi-final in a thrilling game down in Park and Cashlan 2 weeks ago, 3-12 to 2-12, will be playing Dingle, who beat Ungaeltacht yesterday back in Galarus on a scoreline of 2-11 to 7 points. So everybody's looking forward to it. It's always something good to look forward to. The importance of the divisional championships, I don't think can be underestimated or overestimated. Just to have the bragging rights in your own district area coming up to the Christmas and the festivities is fierce important for everyone. So I'd say it'll be a great game of football. Castle Gregory, our young up-and-coming team, Donald, geez, Patrick O'Donoghue, Thomas O'Donnell, Morris O'Connell, Paddy Fitz, and of course Keane O'Grady inside there in the forward line, John Joe Hussey, and of course don't forget Alan Fitz as well, scored a goal against Onescall, and it was nearly kind of the goal that got them through. They'll be up for it. I think it's a long time since they last won, but of course, look, Dingle, my own club, with Paul Ganey on form, And young Dylan Ganey, Niall Ganey. And Cathal Bamber yesterday had an exceptional game, I think, scored 3 points from play in the opening half. So I think it'll be a great game of football.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a unique championship in the sense that teams go off during the year, they do their junior, intermediate, senior thing, county championship thing. But there's always that return back to your district as such to become the champions of your district. I mean, how important was it for Dingle, particularly maybe after the disappointment of it, to get back out again and get one more game? And obviously on Gaelic, I mean, being your nearest neighbours, I mean, that's the game that'll rise a challenge.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was vital for Dingle, for all the players and management involved to get back in there, get back on the horse, get another win under the belt, and look forward. And as I said, bragging rights to be the West Kerry champions, it means a lot. It means for an awful lot of clubs sometimes it might be the only kind of, I suppose, silver or championship that they'll be eyeing up, and to be able to do that in your own home just coming up to Christmas, I think it's for me, I think it's special. I do know, of course, we do have to look, there's anomalies in it where you have some clubs waiting weeks or months because of being out of the championship and then other teams playing in the championship. I do think the GAA in general has to look at that so that it can be a more continuous competition, so that there's no players or teams waiting maybe 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 weeks for games. So I do think there's a little bit of tweaking to be done there. But for me, the divisional championship, growing up as a young fella, it was all about the West Kerry championship. We had never won it. Lisbol had won so many of them and had beaten us and broken our hearts so many times. Then all of a sudden that great Honest Gael team came, then the great Gaeltacht team came, and geez, it seemed like we'd never do it, and we made the breakthrough. I think it was in 1993, maybe 1994, but it was wonderful and something I'll always remember myself as a player, because they're very hard fought. The conditions, tough conditions, rain, wind, you know, and if you're going to win a divisional championship, you know all about it.
Mm-hmm. I saw a great picture of you there recently. We were playing corner forward in some game. Maybe it was on Twitter and the whole lot. But talk to me about winning your first one. I mean, because everybody, no matter where you are, St. Michael's, Fylemore, St. Mary's or Beaufort, I mean, it's the championship that, you know, you could win everything you wanted, but if you don't win on your own stomping ground, you're kind of not regarded as the king of the parish. But what was it like for you winning it, particularly at a time like listeners now will say, now, oh, really, this ball, we're that good? Oh my God, we're on the score, that good? Because we kind of think of today and where Dingle are today, but Dingle of today were not the Dingle of the early 90s.
Well, I'd argue that they were, except they weren't taking part in the senior championship. Of course, then at the time it was the divisional championships, mm-hmm. and the district boards were all the, I suppose, the dominance. You had then the teams like the Stacks, the Desmonds, the Lawn Rangers, the Crokes, of course, the Rahalies, the Mitchells. They were the teams, senior club teams, that were taking part. But every team in West Kerry would have been playing with West Kerry. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at the time, I suppose West Kerry won the senior county championship in 1990 under Paddy Shea. So that was the, I suppose, that team, that famous team in 1990, basically spawned the Gaeltacht team, the Honest Gael team. The Honest Gael went on, I think, afterwards, lost the final, led by Tommy Doyle, of course, and the Farrell brothers and the Driscolls over there in camp. Then you had, like, say, I suppose Dingle came. We won the intermediate, I think, twice. At the time, you had to win, I think, three county competitions to qualify to play as a senior club. It eluded us for a while, a good while. The Gaeltacht came. They, of course, went. They proceeded to get to county championships, win county championships, get to an All-Ireland club championship final, lose to Caltra. We made a breakthrough ourselves in 2004. Happy to say I was actually the manager of that team in 2004, so I have a unique thing. I actually played for Dingle and won an intermediate. I managed Dingle as when we won the intermediate to bring us to the county championship. And I suppose I've had the privilege to be the PRO, Donald, like yourself, for since Paddy Brown, I say, yeah. The great Paddy Brown retired a while ago. So just trying to send my best wishes to Paddy. And of course, when you're talking about the divisional championships, clubs, there's also the people who run the divisional boards. And I know at times they get a lot of, I suppose, stick for putting on games and all bad weathers and stuff. But we'd be lost without them. Here in West Kerry, you have Marisha Fianachta from the Gaeltacht, John O'Connor, Castle Gregory, Derry Murphy, Dingle. You have John Courtney, of course, Aunascall. If we didn't have them, we'd be lost in West Kerry. I know most people would say they're running the board since we were playing ourselves, but who else is going to run it? Who's going to give the time? So, you know, that's what the GAA is about. They'll prepare now for the final. And the final is on the 1st of December. No venue as yet, but it's at 2 o'clock, and I think the venue will be decided this week, Donal. So I suppose the only thing I'd say, if you do have time, I think the other voices will be on around Dingle that weekend and Corcoreena that weekend in West Kerry. So if you're looking to get the best of music, the best of food, the best of company and the best of football, come on our way back to West Kerry, where Castle Gregory will be hoping to topple Dingle in the West Kerry Championship. And I'm sure there's a few Gainies will be trying to stop him, but Alan Fitz and Keane O'Grady will be doing their best to stop Dingle. I think it'll be a cracker of a game. There are two teams that play football, and when they go to, I think we've been starved of attacking football all year, maybe with the inter-county, but the club championship, county championship, and now even the West Kerry championship. As I said, Castle beat Aunascall 3-12 to 2-12. Dingle beat Lisbol 2-19 to 1-8. Beat the Gaeltacht yesterday 2-11 to 7 points. There's scoring being done. And fair play to the Gaeltacht team yesterday. Young Cathal Begley. I'd like to wish Conor Carduff the very best. He got a bit of a knock in during the game, but hopefully he'll be okay. They have a fine young team coming up, and we might as well make in Dingle while we can, because you just don't know. You know the way it goes in divisional championships, Donal.
You never know. You might save Goodhay in the 1st of December as well. You never know. You said, stay on the line.
Anything is possible.
Stay on the line for a moment, because I'm going to cut across to East Kerry, and of course I have Michael Healy from Glenfleska. Michael, good evening. East Kerry down to the finals as well. Two semi-finals. Maybe one shock result, and I don't know, Rathmore, Glenfleska could have went either way. It went the way of Rathmore. Talk to me about the Rathmore, Glenfleska game first of all, Michael.
Well, yeah, as you said, Don, two tight matches in the O'Donnell Cup, sponsored by the Gladiator Grill Hotel Group, the Aquila Club, and the Dr. O'Donnell family over the weekend. In the Glenfleska Rathmore match, Glenfleska started well, got the first couple of points from Tommy Bowler and Dylan Roach, but then a great goal from Rathmore from Fionn Murphy set them up, and they pushed on well from there. Won the points by Darrell Roach, Kevin Bowler and Dylan Roach, just after half-time, brought Glenfleska back into it, but Rathmore had that experience. 3 points from Shane Ryan, another point from Fionn Murphy, and they managed the game well out to get back to the final for the first time since 2017.
Absolutely. And it's amazing too, because Rathmore have such a great history in the Donegal Cup. You remember that team that won, was the 4 or 5 in a row at the time and the whole lot. So they have a great love for it as well. And they have two county men as well, of course, in Paul and Shane as well. Would they be disappointed in Glenfleska? Because Glenfleska were really motoring well. They had a good win over Legion. I mean, you know, the way things go.
On the day against Legion, they played very well, finished the match strong. But yesterday, Rathmore had a bit too much, too much from over the 60 minutes. They'll be a bit disappointed with the performance. But it's a young team, a lot of young players in that team, and they'll be hoping to get better as the year goes on. They'll be in Division One again next year in the County League, so that'll help as well. Another year in that, so they'll hope to improve and push on from there.
And of course, the strength of East Kerry football, the two teams in Division One as well, Dr. Crokes and Kilcommon. A lot of talk about maybe Dr. Crokes and the team that they played and didn't play and the whole lot. But I mean, it's a warranted win for Kilcommon, and it's the first final number of years, and they want to close out the gap that they haven't won since, was it 73 or 74? So they're back in the final.
Yeah, 73. Wasn't that Dr. Crokes team? I think they got 16 points in the quarter final against Kinnegwilla, so that's a fair amount of scoring this time of year. So it wasn't a terrible team they were up against. So still it's a strong team. So Kilcommon had to play real well on the day to win, and they played, and they did. They were strong at the back, especially. Man of the match, Kevin Gorman, was playing deeper. He got in a lot of balls. Mark O'Shea got a couple of nice points. Paul O'Shea, Captain Sean O'Leary was very strong again. And then even when Liam Randall's got a goal right at the end, They lost the kick-out. I think Crokes won the following kick-out, yeah. And they had 30 seconds to get the shot away, but disciplined defence by Kilcoman, and they forced the turnover, and that was the final play then. And the goalkeeper, Brendan Keeley, was outstanding. A lot of high balls came in around the square in the second half when Crokes were pushing, and he caught all of them and dealt with them well.
Yeah, of course. And you know, they beat Fires, they beat Spa, of course, above in Spa, and they beat the Crokes in Fitzgerald Stadium. And dare I say they'll be going in against their neighbours from Rathmore with a good bit of confidence, maybe.
Oh, they will, yes, yeah. They're, I mean, like you said, 1973 is the last time they won it. It's a long time ago, so there'll be great excitement there. And they will be going in with a lot of confidence. They've had three away games, basically, to get to the final. So that's good to win three times away. I see the match in Spa. They were impressive that night. Spa came back hard at them in the second half, but they got a couple of nice scores at the end. Mark O'Shea got a couple of points again late in the match, and they saw that match out, the match the last day, beating Dr. Crokes, any Dr. Crokes team. You deserve huge credit for that. So they'll be going with big confidence into the final.
I won't ask a Glenfesk man to call the difference between Rathmore and Kilcoman, or you mightn't be left into the final itself. But come here, the preparation for the final now, I presume every year you have a fantastic big programme. Does work begin on that now, Michael?
Oh, it already has, yeah. You know, we're getting through the emails and things to get what we need done. So it started about a week ago, so there's no, I'm very busy the next 2 weeks now.
You won't be seen at all. And come here, I mean, the importance of a match day programme, Michael, I'll ask Brandon the same question in a minute as well. But I mean, it's great to go to championship, but to put a thing into your hand that I presume it's look back at the whole year and the achievements of bits of clubs and maybe a bit of history, or does Dan Dwyer have a quiz or something? I don't know what it is, seeing that he was the last Kilcoman man to get a medal himself, maybe Father Larry Blow as well. Is this kind of a time that you can kind of celebrate things?
Yes, there's a good look back over the year for us. This year now, we didn't have the success we as an East Kerry team that we've had over the years, but that happens every so often. So, but there's been a lot of good things in the year. Of course, we've got Fireys and Dr. Croke in Munster semi-finals at the weekend. So good luck to both of them before I forget that, of course.
Absolutely. And of course, you'll have to mention my own road team, will you?
I will, yeah. He did well. He was unlucky in that final that night. There's a lot of good players in those clubs. And, of course, East Kerry under-15s won the same night as well. So there's a lot of talent in the region coming through, as I've seen through plenty of matches I've attended this year.
I'm only teasing Brandon now because he told me he was a manager of some team that won something back in the day. Brandon, same question for yourself. I mean, getting the programme ready, the venue will sort itself in time. Getting Stewart's in, will he have the pipe band going around the field? Getting there on the Veen and the whole lot. There's lots of little bits and pieces that go into making the day perfect before the game is ever played.
Oh, absolutely. And you just have to thank everybody from managers to secretaries and the club secretaries, of course, and the PROs who get the teams and get the information. And sometimes the managers don't want to give the teams and everything, and you know that yourself. But look, this is all part of it. Like, we look at the last few years. Paul Quinn of Quinn's Inventory was to sponsor afterwards the team of the championship, you know, which was a great initiative started a few years back. Then we actually kind of started bringing out maybe a team at half time to be honoured maybe 20, 25 years ago. So I think that's all in the pipeline. I can't say anything too much about it at the moment. But yeah, I think it's kind of but like that at times, everybody suggests brilliant ideas, but it usually comes down to about two or three people to actually do them, Donal.
Yeah.
So, like, the one thing is, and actually, I don't want to bring politics into football, we were talking about volunteering today, and if there's people out there who are listening to Terrace Talk and everything, you know, and if you do have a bit of spare time, get involved in your local club, whatever type of club it is, or district board or whatever, because the more people who are kind of just doing a small bit every time, it makes for a better community always. But no, we're looking forward to it. I just think that the excitement of it all as well, like the Christmas decorations that are coming up. I know we'd all be giving out about December football and stuff, but there's something very special about it, I think.
Yeah. Well,
but at least and the players love it.
Yeah, and it's not the 26th of December either, you know, in other years gone by,
no,
where you'll be playing it in the snow. Hold on. Brandon, fair play to you. Michael, final question for yourself. Have you the venue picked and all that?
We've set for the 1st of September at 2 p.m. at Fitzgerald Stadium.
There you go. They're only spoiling you there, Brandon. They're Fitzgerald Stadium, you know, it's like the Bernabeu, is it?
It has a good name anyway. if you would have judged me there, you were talking earlier on about the running and the Kerry GA and everything being in charge of the running. I remember my uncle Paddy Fitz, who won the Ross Tarleton in 56. Dr. Eamon Sullivan was the manager of the great Kerry cycling team at the time. And I think Gene Mangan, of course, from Killarglen, won in 55, I'd say. But the two, Paddy and Gene, I don't think they agreed with Dr. Eamon's selection for the Kerry team for I don't know what year it was or whatever. But they cycled anyway over to Paddy, left Lisbowl and cycled via Killarglen to meet Gene, I suppose. And then they went to Killarney to Fitzgerald Stadium, met Dr. Eamon there and walked out to the middle of the pitch. The Kerry team were training. And next, they kind of said, like, we're not happy with your pick of the team. And he says, well, that's no problem. Now, gentlemen, will you please let me know the replacements you want to replace the two of you? And I tell you, the two boys put the head down and cycled back away home.
It was a good journey home. Listen, Brandon, fair play.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
no bother,
not at all.
Thank you, sir.
And Michael, absolutely the same. The very best to look to East Kerry and
Thanks,
West Kerry. That's Brandon Fitzgerald and Michael Healy. After the break, we'll talk to Ian O'Connell.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Katie Taylor, Luke Littler and a 5-0 hammering for Ireland, just some of the TV watching at the weekend. So we decided to get our own TV star, Ian O'Connell, on to have a little discussion, maybe help us sift through some of those moments. Ian, up early in the morning or up late in the morning to watch Katie?
Do you know what? I stayed up for the whole thing. I went to bed for an hour on Friday night, and I got up early, got around 1:30, 2:00, and I stayed up for it.
Fair play. It was a long enough wait for it. There was a huge build-up to it, wasn't there?
It was a massive build-up, and I suppose one of the big thing was it was on the same card as the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight, but I think sometimes some people kind of overlook the women's fight, but for boxing fans, I suppose, in my eyes anyway, the main event was Katie Taylor against Amanda Serrano.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, they had, I suppose, they had a great battle last time they fought each other. But this was a ferocious battle, wasn't it?
It was. It was very, very close getting done. And I was lucky enough to be up at the Chantel Cameron their rematch up in the Tree Arena when she won, and it was an unbelievable atmosphere. But no, I knew this fight now on Friday night, it was going to go some way the same as the first one, you know, there, after bringing women's boxing up an awful lot. Like, obviously, Katie has been the face of it for years, and Amanda Serrano over, she's several months' fights, but it was a massive build-up, and, you know, for women's boxing, it was a great to get onto that platform as well, you know, with all the viewers.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Netflix had it for the first time as well, and it was 72,000 people watching it inside in the stadium as well. A bit of controversy about the result, maybe, he puts in question mark.
There was, you know, there was that. I did say it before the fight, I even tweeted, I can see it going to a decision. I can't see it being finished before that, done. But no, there was a lot of controversy. I know Amanda Serrano was kind of one of her trainers, they were saying Katie was headbutting illegally and going in leading with her head, but it wasn't being kind of dirty. But yesterday Amanda came on, she said she shouldn't have said those things, and I suppose, you know, in the heat of the moment after losing the fight, you're going to say stuff that you regret. But it was, I suppose, if it would have gone either way, you know, I think it would have been a fair result. But obviously, when Katie got this, I was delighted. One thing that I have spoken to a lot of people about, and they agreed, was I watched the fight back without the commentary, and the commentary on Netflix, it kind of made a very biased that it kind of sounded like Amanda absolutely hammered Katie.
Mm-hmm. So of course, they were going on the stats and they were going on the punches thrown, the whole lot, but obviously, I mean, that's an illumination of 10 rounds. It doesn't tell the story round by round either. And then all three judges went 95-94. She deserved the point deduction, though, did she?
I think she did. Don, obviously, being our own fighter from Ireland, I suppose sometimes we can look through the green tinted glasses, but I I've no problem with the point being taken away, to be honest. No, yeah. I thought it was fair.
Yeah, so in that instance, Josh, she was even further ahead, even with that point being taken away. Come here, a man who doesn't need any few points at all to get going, Luke Littler. You were watching him last night?
I was watching him. What a sensation he's.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, like what he's achieved this year alone. Obviously, the World Championships last year, getting to the final. I think he's 9 titles won this year. It's
outrage. And like, I mean, poor old Luke, man, like, I mean, to be fair to him, and he kind of came through the back door as a qualifier and done really, really well to get there. And then all of a sudden he's sitting two legs up and your man reels off 15 in a row. I mean, that must be devastating, particularly when you're on television as well. You're probably panicking the whole lot. But, you know, Littler was just different class.
Oh, different graveyards here, Don. He even there towards the end, look, man, he had to applaud Luke Littler, like what he was doing. Last week he had 2 9 darters, and he just missed a double 12 twice to finish the 9 darter. He got so close twice, but on an interview there I was only listening to from Lookman, he just said, you know what, Luke's the better man. And I kind of thought, all right, whoever won the Gary Anderson, Luke Littler game
was going to go on and through.
Like, not saying anything against Lookman, but it was just they were playing different darts all together, Anderson and Littler.
Yeah, I'd say the TV wants him to go on a bit longer. He finishes in 35 minutes. Normally he wants about 2 hours of it. Come here to me, something that was finished in 35 minutes very quickly in the second half. Ireland's 5-0 defeat at the weekend. They played really well in the first half, though.
They played very well in the first half, Donald, you know, and I suppose when Finley after kind of the floodgates kind of opened then, but no, I was having off the first half, and you know, hopefully there's signs of things to come. Like I can definitely see bits of improvement. Sammy Smoltz, like, he's an unbelievable player, and Quevin Kelleher, I'm a United man now, but I
don't say you don't say nothing, you're all right. That he's a grand goalie.
He's doing brilliant for Liverpool and Ireland as well, you know. But
we could easily we could definitely agree he's no Onana.
Anyway, I'd have a safer pair of hands myself, Donald, and they wouldn't be the most reliable.
We're on then. Well, hopefully they get a bit more secure with the new manager coming in. Come here, just to wrap it up, Ian, I mean, obviously you have your own show and it's going fantastically well and everything, and people can tune into that and the whole lot. Just on the other side of it, do you enjoy being behind the mic?
I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, and like the Fiona back there in Manchester, I said if I was asked to go on radio before my accident, I'd have ran a mile. But I think when I done the work experience in Fisher, I kind of caught the bug, and I absolutely love it. And it's I think it's something, a challenge as well, you know, when it like goes out when you're talking, interviewing somebody. I think that's, and like I've learned so much, and I'm sure you can relate, you learn something new from every guest that you've on. And I find this very good to share different stories, and hopefully that all the listeners, they pick something up as well from the interview. That's and like you'll agree, the radio is nothing without the people listening at home, so it's not.
Absolutely, you're going to be fantastic at home. Listen, Ian, thanks very much. We must finish up. You know yourself, we've hit the red light now. Time to go. Lean, thanks very much. It's Ian O'Connell, of course, Jennifer, Katie Taylor, Luke Littler, and of course the Irish team as well. Up next this evening, it is Mary with Toxos, who I learn a little bit off every evening. I meet her, and Keane Doherty, who's teaching me an awful lot as we go along. Fantastic show produced and edited and all that kind of crap by Keane Doherty this evening. And we'll say a big hello to Ivan. I think he's over in Jamaica or somewhere mad like that. Missing you loads, Ivan. We'll do it all again next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.